Desire and interest in your prayers this evening and your attention. Good to be at Myrtle. Have a lot of reminiscing I can do here. I'd like to start out by writing a little phrase on the board. I think I spelled propaganda right, but I'd like to talk to you about Holy Spirit propaganda this evening. There is the word propagate means to spread or to reproduce, and propaganda obviously would infer and imply that the things that would cause something to be reproduced or spread or increased, it's information, it's the know-how, it's the ability to make it happen. Some precepts, some concepts, understanding. So I'd like for us to think this evening about the Holy Spirit and its influence in our everyday lives and how it should be propagated. So what I'm giving you is propaganda, and I'd like for you to take it and accept it, and I'd like for you to not reject it, but embrace it and incorporate it into your life. A number of years ago now, there was a man by the name of Martin Luther King Jr. that had a speech that made its mark in history, and the title of his speech was "I Have a Dream." And he had a dream or a vision for a more equitable society for all people. And he had a vision of how that would be accomplished. I believe he had good intentions, but he had something more than just, it was more than just an imagination. There was something that was very real in his mind's eye. So as I have increased in age, there's something that's happened to my eyesight, my natural eyesight. Didn't realize how blessed I was when I was younger to be able to see all of the little veins in a leaf and all the little fuzzy things that happens on leaves, and that's obscure to me today. Even with glasses, it has their limitations. And if you see my work area, I've got almost every pair and grade of reading glasses possible, because I need different ones for different things that I'm doing. And I've even noticed in the last couple years that my distance vision, that used to be just as clear as crystal, it's actually better when I put my glasses on. So even though those things can diminish in our natural eyesight, we can still have a clear vision. All right. Even though my natural eyesight can deteriorate to the point that I need some help to be able to read, and I would not be able to read anything from this Bible this evening if I didn't have the help of my glasses. But vision is different. Vision is the ability for me to comprehend even when the details aren't very clear. It's the ability that I have to visualize something. It's not daydreaming. It's the ability to see a finished product. Some of us have more ability to visualize a finished product than others. So I'll tell you, I have a vision this evening of a visible church that has all of the members fitly joined together. That's my vision. Maybe it's not in my eyesight altogether, but it's in my vision. And it's difficult for me to accept that all of the power of the early morning church was supposed to fizzle out when the disciples died off. I believe that it should be more today than just a ghost of the demonstrations that were present at the time of the disciples. I really believe it ought to be a powerful, visible church in the world that we live in today. But there's only one way that that's going to be possible, and it's that each one of us individually would be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to be able to act among us or any body of people if the individuals aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's going to be my propaganda, is that we as individuals must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can have a certain amount of appetite to see demonstration and appreciation for demonstration, but to really be a contributor is going to take something more than just a fascination and more than a level of appreciation. It means that we're going to have to be filled with God's Spirit. I'd like for us to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the first verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." And he's referring to worship practices here that was worshiping idols that couldn't answer back. I, for one, as part of my vision, I believe that we're serving a living God, one that does answer prayer, does answer our unspoken requests, that does respond to the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous. I believe that, and that's part of my vision. It says in verse 3, "Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." And I want us to realize that when we are all individually filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just a few that kind of keep everything pulled together, but it's everyone supplying the part that they have been anointed and blessed to fill. And what you see is a magnificent demonstration of God's anointing and power. I believe it's accumulative. I believe that the power is not relying on some special individual, but it's a power that comes in the presence of a multitude of those that had truly given their hearts and lives to the Lord, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in their innermost being and in their soul. It says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." I believe that the Holy Spirit's intention is to cause every one of us to profit in our lives, to profit in our experience. And it is not some elite or exclusive group that's designated or delegated or chosen or predestined or whatever term you want to use, that it's just a few. But the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It says that it is given to every man. And I want you to make sure that you don't forget that. If you don't get anything else, I want you to know tonight that the Holy Spirit is for every man to profit withal. Every part of your life would and could and should be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Your relationships with your family and your fellow man, your experience with God, your ability to perform your task and your duties and your whatever your occupation and calling in life is, I believe the Holy Spirit will help that to prosper if you've truly invited Him in and yielded yourself to His service. So it means that the Holy Spirit brings added value to every man, woman, and child that is of the age of accountability and able to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit's control. Many years ago, over 100 to be exact, there was a man that had a vision that he wanted every man or every person or every family to be able to have personal transportation. He was the automobile industry was very new, and automobiles were expensive, and they were hand-built. There were many different attempts and many different men that were entering into that field. But this man caused some dramatic changes in that and has left a mark on society today that all of us depend on our automobiles to get us to places like this. Most of us wouldn't consider driving 30 minutes to work a bad drive. I imagine there's some that might drive more than that. And there was a time that there is no way that you would take a job that many miles away. You would have to move. So the first Model T was built in 1908. It cost $850. And at least in 1915, the average wage earner earned somewhere around $687 in a year. And maybe that feels like car prices today, more than a year's wages. But he implemented something called an assembly line. He invented that. It's his brainchild, if you will. And over a period of time, he tripled his employees' wages, I believe it is, and at the same time dropped the price. By 1916, the price of a Model T was $360. And in 1925, you could buy a new Model T runabout for $260. They sold almost 2 million of them in 1925. 2 million Model Ts. They weren't all $260 models, but they were $260 as you could get a set of wheels. And you could become mobile. The advancement of transportation was phenomenal. People began to travel, and they began to interact in ways that they never thought was possible before. Families that moved 100 miles away and felt like that's the last time we'll ever see them, they'd go visit after they had a Model T. And you could work about 3 or 4 months, depending on your wages, and take those wages and go buy a new car. You know what that meant? It was affordable. How many of us today wished you could buy a new car for 3 or 4 months' wages? Even if it was the cheapest model out there. I don't think there's a cheaper enough model to buy for 3 months' wages today. The opportunities that opened up were incredible. And you know, the Lord sent the Holy Spirit and made it available to every one of us. But you know, the only ones that got a Model T were the ones that paid $260. You had to come up with $260 to own one of them. And today, if you want the Holy Spirit, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to be willing to get in a position where your heart would be acceptable for the Holy Spirit to dwell. The Holy Spirit is not something you can just go take for free. It's not a cost that way. But it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to invest. But it pays huge dividends. It opens up opportunities. And it will give you a level of power and control over your life like you have never seen before. And I want you to know that just like the Model T totally transformed the idea and the concept of being more mobile and being able to move things around, the Holy Spirit enables you to be equipped for so many more ways to be of service to God's kingdom. So there's a prerequisite, and I'd like to go to Acts, the 19th chapter, and I'd like to begin reading in the first verse. He says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto them, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So there was a level of ignorance about that. And there was a time that people felt like that an automobile was out of their reach. It went from being a year and a half or 2 years' wages to 3 or 4 months to be able to have an automobile. And it says here, these people didn't even have the understanding that there was a Holy Ghost, a spirit that could dwell within them. And he said unto them, "Unto what were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were receptive of the idea that Jesus was the Christ. That Jesus was the avenue whereby we could be at peace with the God of all creation. You're going to have to be there too. If you want some kind of extra power in your life, but you don't want to humble yourself before the Lord and ask for deliverance, and you aren't willing to repent, you're not going to be in a position to receive this. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. I want us to realize that there has to be a believing, a repentance, and a believing and acceptance of Jesus as the Christ. He is the entrance. He is the door. He is the way to make a restitution and a reconciliation with the God of all heaven. And he says, subsequently, they were able to receive the Holy Ghost. Now, without going into a long discourse, I want to tell you that I believe that the tongues here is an intelligible language. It's not an unintelligible, ecstatic speaking. That's all I want to say. But I believe the Holy Spirit enables you to be able to function in your particular and peculiar situation. And it was very advantageous at this time for the Holy Spirit to enable those to communicate in other languages. All right? Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, and everyone heard in their own tongue. And it was important. Peter was an uneducated man. It'd be like me speaking to a crowd that had multiple languages. And if you had know anything more than Midwestern English, you probably need an interpreter for me. But Peter was able to speak, and others understood. I believe that's what this is talking about right here. But that's all I want to say about that for this discussion. I want us to move on in thinking about the cost that we're going to pay. I'd like to go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And I remember my mother used to be able to quote this whole chapter from memory. It's something that she was challenged to do as a young person, and she retained that. I was always impressed. So it starts out and says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There is nothing extraordinary or out of your price range to be able to present your body a living sacrifice. Okay? And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we want to be more effective. I, for one, want to see the church be able to manifest the power and the authority that it had in the time that the disciples were here. I believe that that is not a limitation on God's power for it to be less than that in our day and age. I believe it's less than that because we as individuals are less willing to give our bodies and our lives a living sacrifice to the Lord. So, are you willing to pay the $260? Are you willing to give the affordable price? I hate to say $260. I just know that that sounds real affordable for a new car. Even, I don't know what you make in 3 or 4 months' time, but whatever that is, if I could buy a new car for 3 or 4 months' wages, I'd be really, really tempted to just go buy one. But he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It doesn't say WHOLLY. It's holy, as in godly holy. You know, if we claim to be filled with this Holy Spirit and our outward appearance looks like a billboard for the opposing forces, we don't have it. That's plain and simple. we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must be able to be in a place to present ourselves holy, acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable service. In Hebrews 12 and 14, familiar verse here, says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, sometimes we don't have to verbally say anything, but our appearance is screaming something. And if our appearance is screaming that I love the world, and I stand up and say I love Jesus, I'm going to tell you, there's a paradox going on there. There's a conflict of interest. And dear ones, I'm just going to tell you that if we want to see the power of God manifested in our midst, we're going to have to be willing to look like the Holy Spirit is dwelling within. And we got to get that way before he's going to come in. Would you accept that? We got to get that way to expect God to come in and dwell within my heart and my spirit. If our disposition and our character is such that makes it difficult for other people to be around, we ain't got it. That's just the truth. It's going to cost us. We're going to have to be and act like we have surrendered ourselves to the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, another verse that we're probably all familiar, it says, and a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patience. If you have a problem, be impatient. We're going to have to ask God to conquer that. Help us know how to get over that. If we have an impatient spirit, the Holy Spirit's not going to be living in there with that. We have to be patient with the help and the grace of God. I want the power of God to be manifest in our midst. And for it to do so, I have to be filled and you have to be filled. And it's not just two of us. It's all of us. Every one of us needs the Holy Spirit. This is the propaganda I'm giving you tonight. This is something we need. You don't have the Holy Spirit if your life doesn't exhibit holiness. So it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to lay aside the world. You're going to have to lay aside the things of the world. You're going to have to set your course to live for God. I'd like for us to go now to John, the 16th chapter. And notice beginning in the 7th verse, this is something that Jesus seemed like he was speaking just to his disciples shortly before his crucifixion in the garden. 16th chapter of St. John, and beginning in verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. The world that was around Jesus didn't believe, the Jewish world. And the Holy Spirit convicted them of that through the preaching of the disciples. And there were many Jews that turned to Christianity after Jesus was crucified and arose. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. The Holy Spirit convicted those around them that Jesus was righteous and all of the accusations were false against him. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. These are Jesus' words. And he said in the 13th verse, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Spirit is come and manifested, he will guide you into all truth. How does the Holy Spirit do that? When the Holy Spirit is in our lives and in our hearts, he's going to have a bigger voice to instruct us and guide us. It's one thing to see a warning sign and not turn down that street. We can be driving down maybe in a residential section and see a sign that says dead end. And it'll be good for us if we won't go down that street unless there's somebody that lives right down there about a block or so. That's a warning sign. But it's something else if we can have an oversight of the whole neighborhood and we're trying to navigate through there and be able to see which street we ought to turn on to be able to go through there. And the Holy Spirit is come that he would teach us and guide us and help us to navigate and avoid all those dead-end streets. Jesus come to enable us to get off of the dead-end street and back in the flow of traffic, back in the path that's going to be leading to heaven. And the Holy Spirit is come. It's here now. It's available to us. It's $260, if you will. It's affordable. It's available to all of us. All of us need it. And we all ought to get it. It's very unfortunate if you feel like you can't afford it. It's your imagination if you feel like you can't afford it. When you surrender yourself, I mean, what are you surrendering really? When you surrender your will, when you surrender your pride and your arrogance, how valuable is that? Every time someone is lifted up in their own eyes, sooner or later we all make a fool of ourselves, don't we? We all say something that others look on with disgust or disdain, or it's just part of human nature. So when we take our self and we surrender that to the Lord, very affordable. Very, very much in my price range. What I get in return is worth so much more. Instead of trusting my judgment and my arrogance and my ability to intimidate somebody else, you know, maybe because of my stature I can intimidate some, but I can't intimidate all. There's people here tonight that's bigger than I am. And you know, maybe I could be pretty intimidating to junior high, at least some of them. But if I come to this setting or maybe to other settings, there's someone that's bigger and stronger than me. But I don't have to rely on that anymore. I can cash that in and get something that will give me direction and will intimidate every foe that comes against me. Everyone that comes against me in my spirit and in my life, it's our secret weapon for every point in our life is to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within. It's affordable. All I'm giving up is things I think I'm right in and things that I think I'm better in and things that I think makes me look more attractive. Do you know that holiness is beautiful? Do you know that holiness is attractive? Do you know that other people... You know, that if you're a young person and you're wholeheartedly endeavoring to live for the Lord, you inherently will have characteristics that the world will pay premiums for. A young person that's clean cut and has integrity and will do what they say, they may be totally inexperienced. Did you know the world pays premiums for that? They're dealing with the very opposite of that every day. Don't cost very much. Only $260. It's cheap. It really is cheap. But just because we give the Holy Spirit a bigger voice in our life, it doesn't mean that He's ever going to get in a shouting match with our own will. If you choose to go another path, the Holy Spirit is going to let you go. But if you'll listen to Him, He'll give you direction every time. I'm old enough to tell you that I know it works. In 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 12th verse, the prophet saw quite a demonstration. Saw earthquake and fire, all kinds of things. And then it says in verse 12, it says, "And after the earthquake of fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Now, that's another thing that's failing on me, is my ability to hear. And if you don't want me to hear, just speak kind of low and kind of quiet, and I probably won't. But the Holy Spirit is not going to be shouting. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you in a tone that's understandable, but if you've got so much clanging and hubbub going on, and you're so overwhelmed with all of the influences of the world and of the enemy, you're never going to hear it. That's why we got to give those things up. That's why He only is going to come in if you're willing to embrace a life of holiness. Remember, if your appearance is a billboard of the world, the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell inside. Just not going to happen. In Isaiah 30 and 21, it says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." I want to hear the word saying, "This is the direction you ought to go. And when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, there's going to be that distinct voice in my ear. It's from behind me." That's another thing. If someone's behind, my ears are pointed towards the front. And if you're behind me and you speak to me, it's not very intelligible to me anymore. Might have been at one time, but it's not now. And I want to be attentive. I want the world out of my life. I want it out of my heart. I want it out of my mind. Because I want the power that the Holy Spirit gives, I want it to be manifested in my life. But I want it in your life too. And I can't want it for you. I'd like to. But I want you to want it. I want you to pay the price and lay those things aside that, you know, the world seems to make it sound like it's so important and so valuable. But it really, what's it really worth? What's it really worth to catch somebody's eye, to catch somebody's attention, to catch, you know, I'm so glad that I can depend on the Lord. And remember, some times in my life that I wondered which way to turn. Times when I was young and a teenager. Times when I was a young adult. Times when we had children that were sick. Times when I felt like the Lord wanted something out of me in my life. And I remember those times that I thought, if I have to choose myself, I just don't know which way to turn. And when I've turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I need some direction. And whether I said it or not, I wanted to hear that still small voice. I wanted to hear the voice behind me. There's been times I've had to have a lot of courage when I knew that it was the thing that God wanted me to do. But I always got that reassurance. When there was a move to make, and I didn't know what I was going to support my family with, I asked God, you're going to have to give me something to stand on. And he did. And when he did, and I made the decision, I stuck my neck out. The Lord filled every gap. But I want to tell you, it don't happen if we're not willing to pay the price. If we're not willing to live in a manner that our life is exhibiting holiness, our character, our appearance, the lifestyle we live, dear ones, if we will live in a manner that he can put his approval on, and we invite that spirit in, I want to tell you, there's power that comes from that. There's power that will come in your life, and there's power that will come in our midst. And it will cause the enemy to tremble, and we want him to do that. I'd like to end with a verse in Isaiah, the first chapter. There would be times that maybe someone might hear me say something in a setting like this, and maybe in an atmosphere and along these lines, and you think that maybe I've been a real compliant person. I'm going to tell you, obedience is just as much of a challenge for those like my personality as it is for someone that seems to always be upsetting the apple cart. And I've tested limits, and I have challenged the accepted things in the line of work that I've done, and I've pushed boundaries many times. But this is what I've found in Isaiah 1 and 19. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So what's the reciprocal of that? The reciprocal is simply, if we're unwilling and disobedient, you won't have anything good to eat. There's going to be something that's distasteful. You know, if we are unwilling to pay the affordable price, we'll be walking spiritually. We'll be hitchhiking, so to speak. We'll be wanting to hitch a ride on someone else's experience. So what does that mean in our everyday life? It means that any little distress, we're calling someone else for prayer. Someone else to come and help me out. I believe we ought to share one another's burdens. We ought to carry one another's burdens. But dear ones, think what it would be like if everyone in this building had the confidence that I know when I'm praying, God's hearing my prayers. Think of what that means. Think of what it would mean that if you knew 7 days a week, you knew you was living acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. And you met something all of a sudden. Oh, I believe in calling others and saying, look, I'm in a battle. I need some prayer. But you know how reassuring it is to know that the Lord is dwelling with you? That the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, in your life. He says if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. There's power there. There is a level of authority that comes from being obedient to God's law. And I want to challenge us here tonight to listen to my propaganda. I want you to be willing to pay the affordable price. I want you to be willing to lay aside the things that might easily beset you. The things that it's like, I don't know, does it really hurt? Does it really matter? Why not remove all doubt? Why not live within your means, your spiritual means? Why not live in a place that you know the Lord approves and accepts? Why risk being on the wrong side of the boundary? If you live in a manner that's acceptable, it's a small price to pay. And the benefit, the power that you can have in your life, and then the power that will be manifest collectively. I wish that you could have a vision of what it would mean for us to have the level of power with God in the world that we live in that was available, that I believe is available, that was manifested in the age of the disciples. Maybe you find fault with me, but I believe it's there. I believe we serve the same God. I believe we live in the same dispensation. So you pray for me. I want to be acceptable, and I'd like for you to take this that I've given you and cause it to be propagated amongst us all. You pray for me.